Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Real Debaters Podcast. I am Michael Petro. This week on the show, we got a special features for you. That's where me and one of the cast members get to sit down with someone in the film and television industry. We beg and plead and bug them with questions and say, would you come on the show and make us look legitimate? And when they say yes, it puts us over the moon. So we've got Darren Frost, comedian and voice actor Darren Frost on the show. Rolling through Winnipeg a couple weeks ago, he did a sit at Yuck Yucks. Jimmy was like, hey, we do a podcast. Come talk to us, please. And he was so cool and so chill and so funny. So thank you very much, Darren, for letting us into your hotel room, which is where we do the interview. By the way, we're in the famous haunted hotel of the Fort Garry doing this thing. So we get to talk to him about some of his credits. What are they here? I should have had this ready. Total Dramarama, Bakugan, Battle Planet. Those are his most recent ones. He's done Arthur. He was on Murdoch Mysteries. He jumps from voice acting to actually being a character. Elliot, the Littlest Reindeer, Wish Fart, Go Away Unicorn. So we get to talk to him about forming a character, doing voice work, what goes into behind the scenes of being a voice actor and you know, making your voice stay in working order as much as possible. That's a big thing for a voice actor to lose. I'm rambling. Anyway, so Darren Frost is on the show. As for housekeeping and shit, we are doing Movies in the Park again, if you've heard me talk about it. Follow us on our social media to know what dates. And subscribe to the show so you never miss out when we're going to be there. We actually will tell you now. We're going to be there August, first weekend in August, last weekend, September long weekend. We'll be doing Soul and E.T. opening night. It's going to be so much fun to see E.T. on the big screen again. And Soul's a fantastic Disney movie. I'm not a big Pixar guy. You've heard me talk on the show. Not huge in animation, but I loved Soul's Got Soul. And then at the end of the month, September long weekend, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and Super Mario Brothers. It's me, Mario. It's going to be a good time. We're going to be hosting those nights. We've just been asked to host, so we said yes, humbly. Thank you, Joy. She's our connection at Assiniboine Park. She says yes to all this stuff. So thank you very much for giving us those duties. We'll represent the park in pride. We won't let you down, we promise. We've already had this conversation. But anyways, we'll be hosting. So if you see us sitting down by our table and we're talking about the movie that's playing, feel free to come over and share your opinion on the matter, or after the movie too if you want, and then we can hang out and you can tell us all about why you love E.T. so much, or why Soul meant so much to you, right? Why Soul hit you in the soul. So again, follow us on our social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook, at Real Debaters Pod on Instagram and Twitter, The Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook, and at RD Pod Shorts on YouTube. I think I did that right all in one take this time. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, that's where everything is, can be seen, heard, made aware of what's going on in our universe. And then RD Pod Shorts, is where you get to see us, our short form content, so to speak. But you got to subscribe to the show to always be in the know. I didn't mean to rhyme there. And by doing that, it's also free. We show up every week. We give you some laughs. We hope we do. And then we're all better for it. So subscribe to the show and whatever podcast player you're listening to us on right now. That means a whole fuck ton to the podcast people. Podcasts around the world, if you like them, you should just subscribe to them. You don't have to always buy our merch or follow us on social media. Just subscribe to the show. That's the biggest thing. And then let us know what you want to hear. That would also be cool, too. Anyways, I'm rambling, so thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. I give you Darren Frost with me and Jimmy Skinner in a hotel room in the Fort Garry Hotel talking about voice acting. I will cue that reel, and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Debaters Podcast. I'm one of your table hosts, Mike Petro.
And I'm Jimmy Skinner.
We are in the Fort Garry Hotel.
Spooky.
Spooky. No, we're not here to do a ghost hunt, ladies and gentlemen. That's for giving up the ghost in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. What we are here for is somehow, someway, Jimmy Skinner convinced Darren Frost to come on the show right before his show tonight at Yuck Yucks.
Yes,
at the
yes.
Brand new comedy club here.
Yep.
So first of all, thank you, Darren, for
my pleasure.
For coming on. You didn't have to bug him too much, did you?
No.
It was nice and easy. I got time.
He makes
come on
the transition
by.
Smooth. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jimmy approached me and said that you were in town and that you had done a ton of stuff in the voice acting community. Mm-hmm. And in being comedy and Jimmy being comedy, I was like, this is perfect. We've never talked to somebody who's done the voice work. And our whole special features aspect of this is kind of like who you are, how you did it.
Right.
And then the work, right?
Yeah.
How it all goes into it. So
yeah.
We don't have voice acting unless we have at some point in your comedy career where you kind of started to maybe deviate from the stage
yes.
and get into it. So where did all that start, essentially?
So generally what happened is I became a stand-up comic. I was a comic for probably at least 5 or 10 years. And then I will probably definitely kind of like 5 or 7. And then I moved into commercial work, so on-camera commercial work. And a lot of comics, you'll not even know a lot of actors in commercials are comedians until you see them live. And you're all of a sudden, oh my God, that's the person
that's
from that commercial or whatever, right? Or you see their special.
Yeah.
And mainly that's because comedians are very good at being funny very quickly. And commercials, other than whoring, you got 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah.
you got 30 seconds.
Let's get to it.
You got to get to it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, theater actors or Second City actors who also do very well at it too. Don't get me wrong. But comics are like, I can nail this in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I've been doing this kind of thing for whatever. And that's what happened to me. So I had a run of commercials. I did like 50 commercials in like 3 years.
Wow.
So I did like some pretty big campaigns that are still kind of well known. I was the Listerine bottle in the
that's
giant
right.
outfit. And
yeah,
that ran
were.
Around and did crazy things. And I had the famous one because I had a commercial with Adam West that I did with. And that
Ooh.
Was super cool to do.
Holy Listerine, Batman.
Yeah. So that was the whole premise of it. The commercial is he's at a book signing. I come in the Listerine bottle and you know, stuff happens.
Amp it up. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was great. And then I took a voice class, because people kept saying, "Man, you got a unique voice. You know, you don't sound like a dude." You know,
and in these days, that's good.
Yeah. And I would always get that. You know, I'd order something, and they'd say, "That's 12:40, ma'am." You know,
thank
drive
you,
up to
yeah.
the window.
Fuck,
I would get it all the time. And so, in cartoons, a lot of boys are voiced by young
women. Yeah,
like women, right?
Because Cartwright.
Women's voices don't change as much as men's voices through the ages. So
right.
Nancy. Sounds like a young boy. She's always going to sound like a young boy.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems, not to get too deep into the baseball of voiceovers, but...
Oh, please do.
Yeah.
Like, when you have a kid doing a kid role... So there's a show called Arthur, okay?
Right. Yes.
Massive show,
yes.
right? Not a lot of people realize, Arthur has gone, like, 30 years. It just ended last year. Almost the same run that The Simpsons had.
Yeah, that's
right.
Insane.
So everyone always talks about The Simpsons, and that no one ever talks about Arthur. Well, Arthur is on PBS, which is,
right.
you know, public-funded television, and Simpsons is on Fox.
By a tote bag.
Yeah, exactly. But Arthur, the actual role of Arthur has been replaced like 3 or 4 times.
Wouldn't even know.
Right,
no.
Because they age out, because they would always use kids.
Wow.
Right? So young kids, their voice cracks, and then... They're not that they're done, but they're done doing young boy
kid
voices.
Yeah.
Then they go into the category of all the other voices that every dude and person is trying to get. So it's a little bigger of a pond.
Interesting.
So I kept on getting, you know, sound like a woman a lot. You've got a higher pitched voice. That's good for cartoons. You're
yeah.
an angry comic. Like, that's my style. If you look me up, you'll see that. And anger plays a lot in cartoons. So anyways, I took this course. It was a voiceover course, not a cartoon course, just a voiceover course. And the director of the session, or who ran the thing, is an actual casting director.
Oh.
So everyone's sitting there. There's like 12 of us, like 6 guys, 6 girls. And the person running it, her name is Karen, she's getting everyone to go in the booth and read like Levi spots or Dentine commercials
cool.
or whatever, right? So everyone goes in. It's like the sexy Levi's. Oh, you look real good in those Levi's. Whatever it was. The whole thing was sex appeal Levi's. That
right.
was the commercial. I did like 2 takes, and she goes, okay, stop. Okay, leave the booth, please. So I walk out of the booth.
Oh, no.
I come
oh.
sit down. She goes, don't take this the wrong way. You're never getting the sexy Levi's type work.
Not the Marlboro Man.
No.
Right? You're not going to be that guy.
Yeah.
What you're going to do well in is cartoon work. So for the rest of that weekend, I did a couple commercial things, but the majority of it I did cartoon voices in that seminar.
Sure.
And then literally 2 or 3 weeks later, she brought me in to lead for the role because they were replacing Harlan Williams for Ned's Newt,
ooh,
which was a big show back in the day.
Yeah.
I didn't get it, but, you know, I did well.
Yeah.
Like, and she said, you did well, and that kind of got me in, and that kind of started my career. So if I wouldn't have taken this class, and if this person wasn't honest with me, like, a lot of seminars you take, they just want your money. They don't
exactly.
really care,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'm just going to be honest with you. Just tell me.
To give you the direction.
Yeah, I'm never going to be a leading man in a movie. I know that because the way I look. right?
Like, yes.
You know what I mean? But my voice, I don't know where my voice sits. She does. She's the expert.
She's
okay,
the pro.
Fine. That's and that so led me into the cartoon world, and I really, literally started booking cartoons almost right away. So I booked a show called Timothy Goes to School, which was a really big preschool
show. I've heard
show.
About it, yeah, yeah.
Then I booked a couple other shows. Gahan Wilson's The Kid was an HBO show. I did a couple episodes of that. And then it just kind of snowballed in, and I started doing cartoon work. And I still do cartoon work to this day.
I've noticed your credits are up till 2022,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, yeah. Here. I mean, I just did a cartoon voice like 2 months ago.
What was it for?
I can't tell you.
Totally. Got it. Got it. Yeah, we run into that a lot on the show. When's it coming out? Do we know that?
Next year.
Next year? Okay, okay, we'll watch for it. You got to show us that.
Now, the world is a lot of non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah.
So up until 5-7 years ago, I never signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Didn't even know what it was, probably.
I knew what it was, but it wasn't prevalent. Now it's very prevalent because scripts get leaked, things get leaked.
Yeah,
you know, they don't want people to know there may be a reboot of this show, or there's a new episodes, or they're replacing a character, which is very, they don't want anyone to know that.
Why
would you? Well, and I mean, like, you bring up a valid point, like the Rick and Morty stuff right then and there, right?
Right.
We all know that that replacement happened, and I imagine the new guy who's doing Bugs sounds just like the old guy who's doing
Bugs.
But for the world to know that, that would maybe irk some people. So,
yeah, I mean, if you're a diehard Rick and Morty fan, maybe you just feel like it's not the same show anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, if all the other fans who don't care, who just like the writing in the show, they're going to tune in.
They're going to be happy.
They're going to be happy. So, cartoons have exploded in the last 10 years, but
indeed.
Something else that has exploded is the fandom of cartoons.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And, which is cool. But the opinions on where cartoons should go, and not once again, not to get too inside baseball, but people don't understand why decisions are made on the other side.
No, we don't.
Right?
We don't.
And there's so many reasons.
Like what? Is that in like?
Like for example, in Canada, if I didn't live in Canada, I couldn't do any of my cartoons.
Wow.
Because a lot of my cartoons are based on tax credits. Right? So they go, why can't you get this person to do this cartoon? Right? It's like, well, there's all this business that you have no idea about, that things are funded through government grants and tax credits, that they have to have rules set up that so many Canadians, which is smart.
Yeah.
You're going to get the government money. You can't just bring in a bunch of Americans and just do it here.
Well, and that's being fought over all day right now with Netflix being in Canada, making Canadian content for Canadians, instead of just getting our lovely 65% tax credit, which Manitoba offers.
Right.
And that's the dark side of the industry that nobody wants the world to
know. Well, it's not so much a dark side, but it's a side of the industry that the average person who watches a show and then they make changes and they get upset about it. You can be upset about a change. I get it.
Yeah.
But they don't understand maybe why. You know, sometimes something happens at with the actor that you don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And nobody
wants
it to be public.
Yeah.
It's not public. So let's just not talk about it and we move on.
Interesting.
Right. There's a lot of that. But so fans get upset. And like I was in a show, Total Drama Rama, which is, you know, a young kid's version of Total Drama Island.
Yeah.
And I love doing the show. But the Total Drama Island fans are very, very vocal because they liked that show.
Yeah.
Well, this is a new show. This isn't the same show.
Yeah.
So they have their feelings on why are you doing these shows and not keep doing these shows.
And you know what? Being in this, being like, we're fresh in this in regards to having media credentials and being around in the industry for a while. But I've never liked that. It's like, here's a Total Dramarama, if I'm not mistaken, is like the younger version of the kids from Drama.
Yeah, they're all in a daycare now.
Yeah. That's kind of funny. Right? Like, if you're following a show and all of a sudden you get a different version of your character,
you should be happy.
You should be happy that they're expanding the world and playing the what if this happened game.
Or, and I have to be careful what I say here.
Sure.
Or just be happy the show is continuing.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Period.
Yeah.
Because you don't know the reasons why they're making those decisions. And I don't even know the reasons why this other show isn't continuing and they had to switch gears.
Right.
You know, things are done, like deals are done with the Cartoon Network and Teletoon and YTV. You have no idea what YTV is like. You know what? This year we're trying to do this. That show doesn't fit it anymore. Doesn't matter about the ratings per se, which sounds ridiculous, but I've been on a lot of shows that were highly rated and still got canceled.
They just didn't fit the theme.
people that's change.
These, yeah. Well, you're in the ether. You're in the culture, right?
Right.
So whatever the culture is, you're trying to talk about it or showcase it or whatever have you.
You know, and business decisions are made for other business reasons.
Yeah.
And the fandom, some get it.
Some take it very personally.
But some take it very personal because you know what? I've invested 5 years in a show. You know, I went from age 12 to 17 with this show. Those are important years.
Sure, yeah.
You know, they tie you to the kind of the rest of your life and you have an opinion.
That's
and
the social media generation too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like me, when I talk about my cartoons now, like I'm talking about He-Man and
G.I.
Joe and all, like, you know, the 1.0 stuff, we still love it. But now, if I had an opinion box in my hand,
it's very easy to share it.
Easy to share it, very easy to get toxic.
Whereas before, you just argued with your friends on the playground.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think She-Ra sucks, and the girl said, I think it's great. And, you know, that's the arguments that you had there, and that's where it was.
Walk away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. What is an experience like? We'll start there, because I like anybody who listens who doesn't know how an industry works. And right off the hop, you're telling us all about the business aspect of it, which is very interesting for anybody. Like, it just gives you a different perspective of the thing you're watching and how to appreciate it. So, bird's eye view, what is voice acting? Take us through a day.
So, just so you understand, not a lot of people also understand how cartoons are mostly made. They are started with obviously a script.
Yeah, let's start there.
Perfect. And so a script is written, it's revised. Then once they get so many scripts, then they'll have auditions, right? They might do a pilot, and then they put it together, and then they present it to a Cartoon Network or whatever.
Very similar to any feature streaming show.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the difference is, like, once all the scripts are done, all the voice is done, generally, for a season, before animation or other things are done. Sometimes if it's taking a long time to do it, but a lot of times they've pretty much done all the voice work first, and then they draw to the voice, unless it's Japanimation, because then it's redubbing.
Right.
So the picture is already done, and now you're matching the flaps of the voice, and you're running a script, and you're watching the mouth move.
And you're telling me so many cool things.
That's a lot harder. Japanimation is 10 times harder to do than regular cartoons.
Because you're timing.
It's all about timing.
Wow.
It's not. I'd love to say, my heart's in it, and I've got a character, but I don't want to lie. I don't lie. So it's not that there's no art there, but it's less because you're matching time. When you can just read if I'm a character and I'm just reading a script and I'm this character, I can take my time. They can tell me do it faster, do it slower, angrier, whatever.
Yeah.
In Japanimation, it's always about matching that time.
Yeah.
And then if you don't get it right, like in the reading, they might change it. But timing is a lot of it. So it's very hard.
You're literally just a mouthpiece at that point.
There is acting in it.
Yeah.
But it's all about the timing, right? So that's why it's a division there of how cartoons are made. So Japanimation, the cartoon's already done. You're matching voices. It's done. They match it together. It goes out.
So they're matching your voice to a character as opposed to having a character drawn first and then you're putting...
Well, they've already probably got the pictures of what the characters look
so
like.
There's some bones there. Okay.
But matching the mouth and maybe some of the movements to the character, that's in a non-Japanese cartoon, they have a little bit more leeway there.
Wow.
So they do the voices, then they animate it, then they bring you back in to fix up any things like to the picture. That's called ADR work.
Yeah.
It's called additional dialogue. Recording, and then it goes out and the show is kind of all locked in, all the special effects, and then it's done. So then when you're talking about actually recording the voice, what that means is, so you audition for a role, you might get what they call a callback, so it'll start out with like 100 people auditioning, gets down to like probably 7 to 10, then those 7 to 10 audition again.
Machine, no matter what.
Yeah, it's the same as on camera, because I've done both.
Yeah.
And then you get the role. And then from there, you get a script. You do an episode. Now, pre-COVID, a lot of that was going into a studio.
Yeah.
And that was...
Are you together with everybody else once...
Pre-COVID, it depends on what your character is and what the show is.
Okay.
So if you're a lead and there's another lead that you have a lot of back and forth with, a lot of times they would. Because the energy of having them together is considerably better than recording it individually.
Improv. The magic.
But now due to COVID, almost everything is solo.
Now, did they keep it that way after? Because they realized it cut back on cost? Because I'm just in my head, I'm like, it would be so much fun to have three or four of us all around the mics riffing and try it like this, try it like that. And to get rid of that for cost aspect, because I only know what I know. It seems that that's still going, like that's the new way almost. Or is...
So pre-COVID, very few people had their own home studio.
Yeah.
So most people had to go into Toronto, no matter where you live. And so like for me, sorry.
Take your time. All good.
Laura, I gotta take this.
Take it, man.
No worries.
Hey, Laura, is everything okay?
Yeah, how are you? How's your...
Good, I'm just doing a podcast right now. Can I call you later?
Oh, yeah, totally. You want to talk tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I'll talk. Okay, bye.
Okay, we'll talk soon. Bye.
Sorry about that.
No, no worries, dude. No worries.
Let me turn this off.
We get up and go pee all the time on our show. There's breaks. Like, we're low rent.
What was I saying right before that interrupted me?
You were saying pre-COVID... No one had a home studio.
Yes, okay. That's an important point. So let me just turn this
off. Yeah.
No worries.
Airplane mode. There we go. So pre-COVID, everyone had to go and would go into the studio and there would be a group. Like, so when I did Camp Lake Bottom, that was pre-COVID, we'd get sometimes five or six characters in the room and we'd do the whole script and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're, hey, how you doing? What you doing? You know, the one girl, she was on Arthur for 27 years. Jeez. So we'd talk about that. I'm like, what's it like to have a role for 27 years? Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, it was great. And, you know, it's a gift that keeps on giving. That's what we always say in the industry.
If my memory serves, you have 68 episodes on Camp Lake.
Yeah, it ran for like 4 years.
Yeah.
On Disney XD and a few other channels. So, you know, Camp Lake would be, it was almost like a family. At some point, it becomes very, very familiar. Yeah, you spend a lot of time together. Then COVID hit.
That would have obliterated that. I mean.
And so then what happened is, how quickly can you get a home studio done in your place?
Yeah, to work.
To work.
Yeah.
And so pre-COVID, so I live in a place called Barrie, Ontario, which is an hour and 20 minutes outside the heart of Toronto.
Yeah, your GTA okay? still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Normally, my day would start, I have a cartoon. Let's say my call time's at 10. Let's say 11 o'clock. I'd have to leave my house at 9.
Yeah.
No, but I did, because of traffic, yeah, I'd have to leave at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
to get somewhere for 11, okay? Park my car.
Fuck, that's L.A. like,
okay?
Jesus.
Yeah, do the cartoon, which, you know, you do, it takes an hour or whatever, even a half an hour, so 12, you know, pay for parking, and then drive home again, get home around 2 or 3.
Okay.
So it's about a six-hour day.
Yeah.
For sometimes, it's only 20 minutes in the studio.
Because it's line after line after line after line.
Right.
No time to take reset. Just go.
Just go, right? Then COVID hit, and now I have a studio in a closet at my house, and it's got a $2,000 microphone and a setup that I've created myself, and it sounds just as good as a studio, and not to tap, you know, my own horn a bit here, but and I'm not new.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I know I can do it to the same level.
Yeah.
It'd be probably a little bit different if you were starting out and then COVID happened, but I'd already been doing it a long time. I know the ins and outs. And so now my day is literally, I get the script a couple days before, I spend an hour or two on the script, I figure it out, depending on number of lines. 5 minutes before my call time, I open the door. 12 minutes later, I'm done my record, I open my door, and I'm done. So is there a cost factor? 100%.
You win a lot, though.
But is there a life factor for me
yeah.
to not have to go in? 100%.
Yeah. No shit, man.
So even for like radio commercials, I used to have to drive in from Barrie to downtown Toronto to audition
Jesus.
For two lines in a radio voiceover, Subway, Eat Fresh. So I'd have to do all that 6 hours to get down there and get there early enough, wait, do my audition, drive all the way home for an audition.
You don't
park my car.
Know.
Yeah.
Now, audition, I open my closet.
Yeah.
I close my closet. 3 minutes later, my audition is done.
That's
kind of what the world is like now post-COVID. I still go into Toronto.
Yeah.
Like I tell them, if you think it's going to be better in Toronto,
let's do it.
I'm coming. I'm coming.
But if you've worked with me before and you know how I can do it at home, and I've worked with almost everyone I can in Toronto from a director
right.
standpoint, they know I can hit the marks from home.
Yeah.
They know I live in Barrie. You know, maybe come in every like 8th episode just so we can see you and, you know, say hi. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And
you're real still?
Yeah.
You're a human over there? Okay,
but that's kind of what's happened now post-COVID, with the cartoon world.
And you can see that obviously being a standard now because everybody anywhere in the world. And I mean, like, you need a studio. So even if you're traveling somewhere, you just need to get your hands.
Like, I don't know what's going on in L.A. because I'm not in L.A. Whatever. But I wonder if, like, the cast of Futurama is still going into a studio or a cast of a big, like, Bob's Burgers near the end. If they went, I don't know.
I don't know.
I would assume not, and they just would do. Now, also, cartoons are great because the money's good and it's very little time.
Yeah.
And you can do it through a pandemic. Yeah. So as the rest of showbiz shut down, I was doing all right.
That's fantastic.
As all my friends had to take SIR because, like, stand-up just was obliterated.
Yeah.
I'm still going into my closet, you know, once a week doing my cartoons.
Sending it in.
So that was not a plus, but it saved my ass.
Yeah, it's one of the many things the industry figured out and some of the things that came out of COVID. I mean, that's one of the pluses, you could definitely say.
Yeah. And they don't have to go in either.
Yeah.
I mean, the people behind the editor, board, right? Like the editor. Well, the board guy is still, just so you know, when it's beamed in, they're still using that same studio. So they're still using that master track board or whatever because they still have to do all the bells and whistles. They're just not using the little room through the window where the actor goes and stands.
Yeah.
So that means even the director doesn't have to be there. The director can do it from home because they're just patched in and they can be like, okay, do it, Darren. And it's like, that's how it works. So it kind of benefits everyone.
Do you get to insure your vocal cords?
No.
No, unfortunately, they won't let you do it.
No. I mean, I've never looked, but I'm sure you could.
Like, it's your voice box.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Kathleen,
like,
Bach, you know, insured her legs in the 80s for Dukes of Hazzard.
That's
so.
What I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I'm sure you could.
It's a valuable fucking asset.
I'm sure you could.
How do you, like, you've done a lot. You've done kids' shows. You've done some young adult. You've done some adult humor. You've done feature films. Like, you're all over the map.
Yeah.
How do you figure out your character? How do you figure out the voice?
So when it comes to figuring out character, first of all, on camera, I mean, it's janitor number 4 and you have 5 lines.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'm sorry, hate to bust every casting director's bubble. I'm not. I'm too far in. I'm like, I think I can nail janitor number 4.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But when it comes to cartoons, it's really based on how big the character is.
Sure.
And how much information they give you. Sometimes it's just like, you know, snooty kid bully.
Yeah.
Well, that's my hit. I've done that for 3 decades.
Yeah.
I don't have to do much work. But sometimes they'll give you like a paragraph or two and it's a really fleshed out character. So then I'll have to look at that and I'll have to go into my, you know, little pod at home or whatever and go through a couple different voices. And that's the other benefit to post-COVID. My auditions, it used to be, you got one shot. You'd go into a room.
Give it
all the people are there.
Yeah.
And if you screwed it up, they might let you do it again, or they might give you a little bit of direction, but you got your one shot.
What is, like, that is the standard format for any casting.
And yes.
Is it because you just want to be shocked and then impressed and entertained by that performance and you know, that's it? Because I find not being given at least one or two directives when you don't know anything beyond this is the character.
I used to book a lot more pre-COVID than I have post-COVID.
Sure.
Because, you know, I'm a funny guy. I'm kind of animated. I can make little jokes before. And these are all things that play into whether you get booked or not. Right?
Yeah.
It's just a fact.
Yeah.
Right? Do they like you? They already like you. And then when you bring a character, you know, you go in with a bad attitude.
It's easier to meet you in person.
Yeah. You go in with a bad attitude. You can have the greatest voice, but sometimes nobody wants to work with that.
Right.
Right? Like, oh, totally. I did this show. You know, this guy was terrible, but, you know, we got to bring him in because he's got a good agent. And, you know, they'll listen, you know, but they're going to be fighting themselves to book that person.
Yeah.
So when you, this new thing, it's just your voice. The new way to audition. There's no interaction. There's no, hey, how you doing, Larry? How's your kids doing? There's none of that.
Yeah.
It's just Darren Frost, you know, bully.
Here's what I got.
And the voice. That's it. Now, from a purist standpoint, it's voice against voice now.
Yeah.
Right.
It's simple.
Very little nepotism. Very little, they worked with this person before. It's like, I'm hearing this voice, and this voice is better than that voice.
And that's all you. That's what it's based on, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's not based on how you looked or what you were wearing that day. It's,
right. It's like purely the voice.
Yeah. So there's got to be a little comfort in that, I guess.
I mean, I book less, but I don't have a problem with it because at least it's more fair.
Right.
That's very positive of you.
You know, I've had my run. I mean, I've had my run. If everything stopped tomorrow in cartoons, I never grew up going, I want to be a cartoon or, you know, voiceover guy. I kind of fell into it. And there are a lot of people that do a lot of voices. And I've been with these people, and they're really good. You know, I'm just lucky that my three kind of hits are always in cartoons, but they're not lead roles. All the big dogs want the lead role. I don't.
Yeah.
I want, just so you know, anything six lines or higher, you get the same money.
Interesting. Union.
So,
yeah.
I could, I don't know if I can swear on this thing or not.
Give two fucks.
I could give a flying fuck if it's a lead or it's a little character that pops in every episode and does seven lines.
They hit that six lines and above.
I get the same money. What do I give a fuck?
Yeah, no shit. Absolutely. You can go home earlier or open your closet.
My day's done in 8 minutes. When you do a lead, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It's a lot more weight on your shoulders. It's longer scripts. It's like they're really worried about like tone and the arc of the character. When you're Larry the Lizard in a, you know, an animated show about animals, and Larry the Lizard's just an angry guy that pops up and screams six lines, there's no arc there.
Yeah, no, it's you, but you're the fun, you're the punch up.
Yeah, I know how to do that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but I'd rather do that.
You've been doing that forever,
right? And I've done shows where I've done like a six line thing, and after I walk out of the room, they're treating me better than when I've headlined a comedy club for a whole weekend. Six lines, and I was in there 6 minutes, and I did it twice.
I love this industry.
And they were like, this is why I will never shit on animation. You know, they've always treated me like amazingly well for someone that kind of fell into it, you know? And I've been treated shitty on the other side, on camera, in stand-up. I know when I'm doing good work and no one's acknowledging it. You can do an okay job in animation, but they're just happy that it's all working out.
Yeah.
They're very positive, for the most part, people. And I'm like, you know what? If you ask me, if I could only do one, I would do stand-up. But if I can find something that helps me fund my ability to do stand-up that is also great, then I'll keep doing cartoons every single day.
Man, fill your boots.
Because unfortunately, in Canada, stand-up will not pay your rent at the way it's going. So everyone has to have a side hustle. So my side hustle is cartoons and a little bit on camera. So that's my side hustle.
Thank you for talking to us on my side hustle.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you got to have it if you want to stay in this business. I've been doing it 32 years. No, there's not a single performer that I know that's been in that long that doesn't have some kind of side hustle outside of what they're known for.
No shit. Yeah, no. Totally.
Whether they're writing on a show or they're behind the scenes on a show or whatever.
Like fucking Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso.
Yes.
I just found this out this week. He went on as a writer. Roy Kent was a writer.
He was a stand-up.
Yeah.
He actually did a movie that he funded himself.
Yeah.
You should search it out. I can't remember what it's called, but it's about a superhero. And then he got Ted Lasso as a writer. Then he came in and it took off. And that's the star character.
It's fucking Roy Kent.
Roy
Kent sent the self tape to the EP. And he's like, if you don't like this, I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
But then they were like, we love it. So you're on. What's the hardest voice? Because you choose.
So Japanimation is always the hardest. Because the problem with Japanimation is a lot of yelling.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you ever watch animation,
unless
it's like
Dragon Ball Z fan.
Well, yeah. So unless it's like some kind of like a Pokemon where it's a little cute thing. Yeah, that kind of thing.
That's pretty good.
That's not hard on your voice. But I'll tell you what's hard on your voice.
Please do.
4 hours of going Bakugan Brawl.
Hadouken.
Fire.
Yeah.
Stand. You know, you're tasting blood by the end.
No kidding.
And that's hard. And that's one of the reasons why I actually got out of Japanimation for a while. I kind of came back again a couple years ago, but it's because what would happen is I would blow my voice out and then I couldn't work for 2 or 3 days because my voice was too rough.
Yeah.
And so that was actually affecting my bottom line, not just in cartoons, but in stand-up as well. Because
sure.
I couldn't
No talking.
Fuck. So it's very hard.
Ignorant question, is everything in Toronto for what you were doing, or did you ever go over to Japan?
I never went over to Japan.
Never went over to Japan? Okay. No. Out of all of, like, because manga is making a resurgence.
Oh, yeah.
Netflix is picking up tons of stuff.
It's cool to like cartoons again.
It is very cool.
But other thing about Japanimation, it's so cheap for them because they've already made their money in another market.
Right.
So just putting English voices on something that's already done, everything's already done.
Yeah.
This adding the English dub is like 1/20th of what their budget was for actually producing a real cartoon.
And it's just for us over here and everybody else.
But yeah,
Europe,
but it's
right?
a giant market.
Yeah.
It is huge.
Yeah.
For a tiny little thing. And so it's like when Netflix first started or any of these things, they only had a couple blockbusters, but they had a ton of like documentaries
yeah.
or smaller
right.
movies
yeah.
because one Captain America could pay the same as it would cost them. They could 40? Get 300 documentaries.
Holy shit. Yeah.
So in the beginning,
cost
Netflix really kind of front-loaded a bunch of stuff that it's like kind of weird and smaller because they wanted the breadth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing with cartoons. Now, and Netflix, this whole Korea explosion
yeah.
of all these shows.
SK
and
films,
it's like
and
everything.
Shows, yeah,
you know, they're
yeah.
all because they've already made their money in their market
just
and it's just
to...
a redub.
Yeah.
It's an upcycle, literally. It's turning something into something else for everybody else in the fucking world.
You know, and especially these like Love Island and all these reality shows. It's just, you know, the Circle France and the Circle Brazil. You know, they know how to do it now. It's a worldwide market, and they know how to make money.
Well, yeah, because they get our analytics, and they see what we
yes.
like, and they see what we stream. And
yeah.
What are your tricks and trades to keeping your main tool in check? Like, how do you...
I honestly don't have any.
Really?
No, honey,
I don't. And I scream a lot on stage during my stand-up. So people are always surprised. But I don't know. I've just been lucky. I mean, I don't drink
okay.
for the most part.
That probably helps, yeah.
I've never done a single drug in my entire life. It's whatever you want to call it, straight-edged or whatever. So that also helps. I never smoked. So that's another big thing. So a lot of that is... Look, I like to eat out. That's my thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my vice food or whatever.
There.
But all those other things that can affect your voice, I don't do, so...
What's the hardest voice you've ever had to come up with? Because you've chosen to fit a character with a voice.
Yeah,
have
and
ever,
then you regret
your,
doing it.
Have you ever
it.
Hung yourself?
Yeah, and then you regret doing it because it's like...
They like it, but you're like,
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do this for 30 episodes or 100 episodes.
Yeah, what character was that?
So that was one of the first times that happened was Bakugan in season one. It was a character called Shuji, and he was the main bad guy. And he's actually in one of the Wii actual games, so I
okay.
had to do that as well. But it's not like this! It's like a really growly thing. And, you know... You're screaming like that for 2 hours, 3 hours. It's like just does your voice in. And so now I try not to give an audition where it's something
that'll
I can't do
yeah.
for 60 episodes or 100 episodes and wreck my voice.
Yeah, because they go, no, we like that.
Right.
And we want to pay for
right.
that.
Right.
We want to pay for the
boundary. It's like seeing a celebrity do something stupid and then them complaining. It's like, don't give them the footage.
Yeah.
Don't act stupid in public.
Yeah.
You know, go to your own home and act stupid. But if you give them the footage, same thing. Don't give them the audition.
You're going to TikTok
right?
the fucking shit out of it.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to give them the audition, then feel like that, you made the mistake, not them. They're like, this is what we want.
Interesting.
This is what you get paid for.
That's, man.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. Going from comedy and then getting in, like, what is the lore of the voice acting world? Like, are there big names that as you've come across it, you're like, this is the god of voice acting, or this is the god, like, who's the creme de la creme in that industry? Outside of The Simpsons and the Futuramas, like...
Yeah, I mean, there's anyone that's on My Little Pony
okay.
is pretty big right now, like Tara Strong, I think her name is.
Yeah,
she's huge. She's Canadian.
Rats,
oh, okay,
stuff.
Yeah.
She's Canadian, you know, made a really huge career out of that. And then, you know, right now, all the Paw Patrol...
Okay.
Paw Patrol is a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah.
And
it's driving parents crazy.
Of course it is.
Time.
But a good friend of mine plays two of the main roles.
Nice.
And so he's getting a bit of pop from that. And now also because of these Comic Cons in the last 10 years.
We get
access to you.
It's kind of like opening up this whole, like nobody knew what voice acting was.
No.
15 years
no.
ago. Like, you didn't know who voiced Rocket Robin Hood or He-Man back in the 70s or 80s.
No fucking clue.
Right? And then, you know, you go to this Comic-Con, and it's an 80-year-old dude signing pictures, and you're like, holy fuck, that's the guy I watched as a kid.
Him.
You know? Yeah.
Horribly
so,
said.
So, I mean, this Comic-Con revolution has also helped. So it's creating a little bit of a star-type system.
I remember seeing the cast of The Simpsons on Inside the Actors Studio.
Yeah, yeah.
It was
yeah.
a two-hour special.
Yeah.
The first hour was... your Nancy Cartwright. And then the second hour was everybody responding in their character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just
great idea.
Seeing that, giving some sort of humanity to a voice, because up until recently with the Cartoon Network resurgence,
Yeah.
Not even Resurgence. Boom. I guess.
It's not even Cartoon Network anymore. It's even all these, the streaming is taking over for the cartoon world. Like more than half of the, like 80% of the cartoons I'm auditioning for now are all streaming.
Really?
Yeah. They're gonna take over.
Well, and I mean, it's because it's, you know, it's the babysitter, right? And every one of them's got the kid-based programming.
Yes.
Which brings me to an idea, like, or a question, I should say. I would imagine is there a lot of focus on the message beyond the character when you're doing some of these kid shows? You played the toy truck, or you played a vehicle.
Yeah.
What was that? The name of Lucy?
Chuck and Friends.
Chuck and Friends, yeah. Like, the dynamic of making a kid's show as a bunch of adults are in the room who are doing the voices, I imagine, you know, you cross some
issues. Here's where I might actually get into trouble, but, you know, I'm going
to
say...
Tell me to edit, I'll edit, but...
No. I already told you. Anything I say is fair. So, when people ask me what was your favorite cartoon that you ever did,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
It's a long way to answer what you're talking about.
Please, take
but
the time.
But I say it's always Timothy Goes to School.
I watch always. That as a kid all the time.
And people go, why? You know, you've done all these other shows that, you know, have fans and everything. And I'm like, because that show was for little kids to teach them very sweet messages. There was no toys. There was no
trying to sell anything.
No trying to sell anything. It was all about being a nice person and, you know what I mean, teaching little kids things. And so you actually kind of felt good that you're in a show like this.
Yeah, it's a positive spin on it.
Right.
Teaching the next generation valuable lessons.
It was also my first show that I was a regular on, and I'm kind of learning the ropes. So, you know, it's like, it's a certain moment in time.
It has a place in your heart.
Yeah. Then we talk about Chuck and Friends. Now, there's nothing wrong with Chuck and Friends, but the problem with Chuck and Friends is that was already a toy line before the show started.
So it's baked in. You've got the baked in on it.
So you know that. I'm not saying their heart wasn't in the right place and the scripts weren't good and whatever, but it was already a toy line.
Yeah.
So the show...
had to follow.
I'm thinking had, like, let's sell some toys.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm a business major before comedy. I get the business of it. But that doesn't always lead to good television or good cartoons.
Batman and Robin.
You know, if you're trying to sell toys.
Yeah.
Right, so that's the biggest complaint about Paw Patrol right now, that the parents don't like because of all the toys, right? The kids keep badgering them for the toys. But at least Paw Patrol, it started and then it exploded.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a bunch of toys, Paw Patrol, and then they made it. Now there's more toys. We're going to sell a bunch of toys.
It's the He-Man story. He-Man was a toy and then it was a show.
Yeah.
And
they wanted to kickstart the toy line.
Exactly.
And sell more toys, which, you know, of course, was the smartest idea for them. It's still a business. There's nothing wrong with that, but if you're asking me from an actor point of view, I'm like...
Not your favorite.
Not my favorite.
Okay. That's, yeah. And that's, I mean, it's a little greasy, I would imagine, at some points, right? Like, you know, art versus commerce.
It's only greasy if the scripts are so obvious that they're just trying to sell toys. Like, every week we got a new truck. And it wasn't that.
Yeah.
And every person I worked on it, were good people.
Yeah.
And they treat everybody well and stuff. It just reeked of, are we just trying to sell toys here? Because it was already a toy line.
Yeah.
That model, which I'm not really comfortable with.
The toy itself or just...
No, just the idea that we might be selling kids toys. That's what the end result is of this cartoon.
Yeah. No, you don't want to be... I get it, because I was that kid when I was little. I'd be like, G.I. Joe, right?
Right.
It's Sergeant Slaughter, but with a new toy kit, so mom's wallet's empty. And
yes.
Michael was an only child.
Yeah, I was.
So yeah.
I got whatever.
Like, I remember I was in England once. For the second time, we're fine. I was in England once. Not England, sorry. I was in Cuba once, and this British family was there. And when the Brits go to Cuba or anywhere like that, sometimes they go for 2 full weeks because it's a bit of a journey.
Yeah.
So this kid was there, and he goes, he's got a couple Paw Patrol toys. This is like 6 years ago. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool. And the dad goes, oh, you like, you know, Paw Patrol? He goes, yeah, yeah. Eddie, show him the Paw Patrol. And he goes beside the seat that he had beside his dad, and the dad's got a hockey bag. A hockey bag.
Fuck.
Full of Paw Patrol toys.
That's insane.
Like every Paw Patrol toy there is. Like fucking cars, three different
accessories.
Everything. Everything.
The Chinese version of it.
I didn't even know there was this many toys of Paw Patrol. Like, I've been in a toy store, I've seen the Paw Patrol, but what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
No. Like, I'm just like, oh my god, like this is like easily $1,000, if not more.
Bag.
in this bag of Paw Patrol toys.
Imagine where it is.
And I can just imagine that kid. I want this, I want this, I want this, because they're at that age, right? They don't understand. They just ask and want.
I saw that at Galaxy's Edge in Star Wars. My wife took me for a surprise visit for my birthday, and I bought the $275 American.
It's a nice lightsaber.
American lightsaber.
I was just there. Another lightsaber.
It's a nice lightsaber.
I watched a dad buy two of them for his kids.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, I want, I want, I want, and like, you don't play with these.
Yeah.
2 minutes outside of the room, they break them from hitting them against each other, and then he looks at dad, and it's like, so I totally get, you know, you want something to have a message or to have a soul or to have at least some sort of, you know, true north behind
it. It's not even always doesn't have to, but if it goes the other way, then I'm kind of like, I'm not going to lie. I still cash the check.
Yeah, totally.
I'm a hypocrite. I still cash the check.
We all are.
But you just asked me what I feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
And sometimes we all have to do things in this business that we're not always comfortable with.
We got a fucking mortgage.
And the money, and I got kids to feed and whatever, you know, like, there's so many stand-up gigs that I've taken that I wish I did, but the money is the money, and that's, you know, if I don't take these things, then I'm going to have to be a Costco cart wrangler, and that's not a bad thing.
No. They pay well.
I know they do.
They pay very well.
You said Baku was the one that was hardest on your voice. Was that the hardest one you've ever done, or is there something that was really...
Yeah, I mean, that is the hardest. Yeah, and either Japanimation is very, very hard on your voice, and like I said, it's not like, you know, you've got this character that you... I don't even understand the scripts. Like, so that's the other thing.
I love it.
That's the other thing. Just so you know, when you do a non-Japanimation script, you get the whole script.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know, like, and there's, like, direction, like, and then Johnny jumps over the fence and says, "Hey, what are you doing, Larry?" And Larry says, "Oh, I don't know. What are you doing?" So there, it's an actual, like, a movie script. So you can get in the head of the character and that. A Japanimation script comes... with just lines.
And names.
Pretty much.
Right?
And a tiny bit of direction, but nowhere like this.
No exposition, no description.
You know,
no,
like, it's just like, you know, there's a little bit of a threat. You can kind of, but it's like, I don't know what this globe is, but I'm really mad about it, you know? And I'm like, okay, this is my character.
Anybody who wants to get into this, what would you say is a good place to start? Like, you said you fell into
take
it through commercials.
I would always suggest taking a class. I think it's important. But I would always say make sure you find out who the teacher is. Make sure that they're either one of two things. Either someone that's still working.
Okay. Because they know what the industry is asking for.
Yeah. Like, still working.
Okay.
Or they're in casting.
Okay.
Right.
So they know what the audience wants, or they're working and they know what the casting director wants. You've got both sides of it.
Yeah.
Is it tough? Have you seen it change over the years? Is it getting tougher?
I mean, the problem is with COVID, a lot of people got into cartoon voices.
Ah, so it shifted.
Right? So what happened is a lot of stars weren't working. So they took gigs on cartoons. And so that top talent now moved down a bit because now the top roles are going to stars.
Yep.
So now the top talent is taking the secondary roles. And the people that would normally get the secondary roles are now doing, like, Plumber Number 3 with three lines, and so on and so on. And that never really went away, because once the stars realize how kind of cool cartoons are, like, you've got kids, and how easy it is, and how fun it is, like, why wouldn't you do it?
Right.
No, if
John Hamm wants to do a voice on your show, it's hard to say no.
Right, because that's going to get you press,
and
anything to cut through to get your name out there now, you know?
Well, and, who's there first with the best idea and the funniest fucking line is the winner.
But star power is important.
Well, and I mean, you look at the Archers, right? And you look at the Simpsons, you look at the Futuramas, like, but it's so weird because, like, it's taken forever for people to realize Hank Azaria was Apu before the Apu scandal.
I know that.
Like, people don't, they just don't connect it for some reason, I hate that it seemed like that, because you're using one tool. You get to be animated to accentuate and get it to where you want it.
Ron Lynch is in town this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. From Bob's Burgers and Home Movies and all of the... It would be interesting to talk to him, because he would have more of an L.A. experience of how the business has changed, because he was seen as someone that's, you know, it's on Bob's Burgers. That was a good-sized role. I'd be interested to see if, because of COVID and all the stars... where he is, or maybe he's still fine. Right. I don't know. But that would be very interesting to me.
Looking, when you got into it, did you ever look back and, like, as soon as you were in the voice acting world and you were a part of it, what from your childhood were people still around that were doing voices that you kind of...
Okay, so this is amazing. So the one thing I always forget, it's weird, because when people, what's your favorite show? Yeah, it's Timothy Goes to School. But tied to my childhood,
yeah.
It was a show called JoJo Circus.
Okay.
And it was a stop animated show.
Oh, boy.
I fucking love stop animation. Like, you know,
Rankin
and Bass are my OGs, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all that shit. I collected all that stuff. I have Rankin and Bass encyclopedias. I have all of it. So when they did JoJo and I got a role, I was like, I told them, I'm like, this is amazing. Like, you don't understand. Like, this is stop anime? Yeah, stop anime. Like, fucking, like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Yeah, this is not computer generated. It's like, literally, I'm like, this is the fucking shit. So that was number one. And then number two, I did a show called Willa's Wildlife, and I did a role, and there was always this older gentleman there in a blazer, like always dressed up. I'm wearing fucking, you know, t-shirt and shorts,
yeah.
Grubby, you know, and he's always got a blazer on. He's like dressed, and I'm like, okay, and I'm talking to him. Obviously, he's an older guy. He's been around the business, and I'm not sure if I realized this before he died, but so I worked with him a few times, and then he died, and I looked him up. And the guy had a career that was fucking crazy. He was on the Jeffersons. He was on this. He was on that. He was, you know, the Mario and Luigi live action?
Of course.
Yeah.
He was the thin one. Which, is that Luigi?
Yeah.
Luigi. He was Luigi in that. In the OG 80s cartoon.
Wow.
Live action Mario and Luigi. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's insane.
Like, I wish I would have known.
Not know.
You know, I don't know why I didn't Google him or whatever until later. Or I might have Googled him and I didn't see him again and then he died or whatever. But I'm just like, what the fuck? Like,
how did I fucking stand in front of that and not?
But you know what? The guy's like, I think he was like 81. He can still do a voice. You know?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's a good
You know, like, Gilbert Gottfried did voices till the end. You know,
Lord,
like, that's...
Yeah. Howie Mandel did voice. Bobby's World.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite voices that other people do? Like, what do you... Because you ask a director to watch a movie or an actor to watch a movie, and then can they take themselves out of what's happening to just enjoy?
Who does the voice actor enjoy listening
to? So, for me, the two cartoons... So, there's three cartoons I think are the best of all time, my personal opinion. Obviously, The Simpsons. I don't think we have to even say that one. But Bob...
Tell them that I'm not a big...
But Bob's Burgers...
My mom stopped me from watching The Simpsons as a kid. I have lost The Simpsons.
If you didn't watch it at a certain era in your life, I can understand people not liking it. It's tied to a certain era.
I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I need to watch it so that these fuckers stop drilling me every time we record that I never saw it. Anyway, okay, we're going. Simpsons.
So Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think is an amazing show.
Shot right to the fucking
amazing
top
show.
So fast.
You know, Eugene Merman, and I can't
Perfect
remember
cast.
The girl's name. I feel bad. I should have.
Oh, Kristen Schaal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. So funny, you know, both did stand-up. I mean, Eugene still does, kind of an alt-comic from New York. And then I think that the best show in the last 20 years is Phineas and Ferb, and I would fight anyone to the death that would disagree with that.
I have been slowly putting more animation into my life because I'm a cynic and I like seeing the dark side of society.
Now, I get Rick and Morty, that's for adults or whatever.
Yeah.
But this show is for kids, but adults can also love it.
I think a lot of people in my generation would agree with you as well. So it's pretty refreshing to hear someone of your generation agree with that.
Because I had kids, and I watched tons of cartoons with my kids, and I'd always, you know, I'm trying to be the good dad, making sure I'm watching it's age appropriate. And I'm like, this show is so fucking good. And I've worked with people that also worked on that show, either directors or whatever. And I'm like, as soon as I work, tell me about Phineas and Ferb. And they're like, wow, how did you know I did that? I'm like, fucking, I know everything. You know, I look up everyone I work with, and if I see Phineas and Ferb, I'm bringing up Phineas and Ferb.
How does the director work with you in the room? Because we all see the Entertainment Tonight clips of, you know, Nolan on set, not kicking chairs out from under people because no one's allowed to sit, right?
Right.
What's your relationship to a director in regards to doing all the voice work?
Like, 95% directors are great.
Yeah.
You know, you've already landed the role. It's a voice. You're doing the voice. And they're just giving you, like, you know, basic things, like a little faster.
Right.
Maybe, you know what, not so angry in this part. Or, you know what, amp it up a bit. That's the average. Then, you know, I've had a situation where I didn't get along with someone and, you know, it almost came to, like, blows. So most people in the animation world have no idea that I'm a stand-up. I don't mix the worlds. I don't tell people.
Right.
I don't ever say anything because I don't need it. Like, you know, I don't need someone Googling me and then saying you're the devil.
Right.
And, you know, because I've been fired. That's what happened in the cartoon world. I got fired because of my stand-up. and other things, so I don't need it to bleed over. And so, but a lot of the animation people behind the desk are a lot of ex-musicians, like that kind of
thing.
Well,
because it's all sound.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, it's,
right.
You are, you got bass, you got treble, you got your high, your mid, your low, you've
right.
got all your ins and outs.
And they all went to school for this to record their own shit at home.
Yeah.
Right.
And the reason I bring this up is because they're, I don't want to say they're rock and roll people, but they're kind of cooler than the average kind of industry people. And
they
know
watch
stand up.
Jagger snort coke off the mixing board.
There
so
you
they,
go.
You know, they're
and
cooler
so they,
for that.
They somehow, some of them found, know I do stand up. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And so one time I was in a record and the director was saying things that he shouldn't be saying to me. And I was saying things back and I don't normally punch back, but I already don't like this guy.
Yeah.
And I literally didn't care. If I got fired.
Sure. All
because I'm
off.
Like, I'm arguing something that I know I'm right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was new. So this was a situation where they replaced the director of season one to season two. That happens not for bad reasons. Season one director may not be available.
Yeah, right.
They moved on to a bigger show. They have to replace. So this person was arguing with me about the slogan of the show. Now I've already done 26 seasons, 26 episodes. I've already screamed the slogan 26 times, a minimum. I know how the slogan goes. He's telling me the slogan doesn't go this way. So it's not getting good.
No.
And everyone else in the room knows about my stand-up history, and I'm not going to back down. And I don't, so they
you just
know.
You see a heckler at this point.
They know I can be a cunt in like half a second. Like it's not even like it's
yeah.
not even debatable.
All bets are off.
So they're all of a sudden they're not looking at me anymore. They're all
oh,
trying
no.
to look down.
They're
you know,
cleaning.
They're like, that, oh my god, this is gonna get so awkward.
When you start mopping the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly.
And luckily, it got really bad, and really tense. And then, okay, wait a second, Darren. Turns the mics off for, you know, and they're talking, and you see them talking, and I know they're playing from season one, the slogan.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, Darren, you're right, so just do it like that. Like, no apology, no nothing.
That's weird.
This,
fuck
so
off,
that's my
buddy.
That's my attitude. So I literally walked down the hall after recording it. I called my agent, and I told them, I'm quitting this show.
Done.
Not worth you. Yeah.
I literally was getting like I couldn't sleep at night, and I never had happened before. Like in stand up, it happens all the time. I work with shady people; they're fucking idiots, whatever. But in this business, I've never had this problem before. He's not a well liked person already. There's other people that had bumped heads, and I'm like, I can't handle
this. This is the moment. Yeah.
This is the moment. So my agent's like, oh, shut up, Frosty. You're just a fucking idiot. If you get fired, you'll get fired from all this. Don't you know how this works? It's a very insular. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. So 2 days later, my agent calls me, and she goes, well, you don't have to quit that show. And I go, why not? She goes, show's canceled.
Funny how things go, isn't it?
That's winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Right.
That's all day long. Like, you get to walk away. Your career's not tarnished. It doesn't look like you're hard to work with. And that guy never has a fucking job again because...
Oh, he does. He's
still working? Okay.
He's still around.
But you know.
Every time I see a breakdown... With his name on it,
yeah,
I'm not doing that gig.
No.
Right.
I've told my agent, I will not work with this director.
And that's not hard. That's not hard to deal with. Like,
no,
if,
that's a lesson.
That's exactly.
Yeah,
it's
like if you ask anybody in stand up, 50% will say Darren's a great guy, 50% will probably say he's a cunt. I'm fine with that.
Sure.
Because stand up is my own thing. It's my own thing. I get to do. I get to handle my business anyway. If you ask anyone. In animation, 99.9% will be like, Darren's a nice guy. Then I saw his clips on stand-up, and oh my god.
Oh,
I never knew. Like, oh my
this
god.
Doing that kid
oh
show?
My god, like I'm sitting there talking about my kids with him and he's like saying these horrible things. Like nobody knows.
It's so interesting.
Except a few people
things.
That work the board because I've been around
right.
them a lot and they
yeah.
whatever, they figured it out.
Yeah, and then they're like just keep it on.
Yeah,
the
we don't
back.
Talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Did you have trouble separating those two things when you started?
I mean I didn't. And luckily the business hasn't,
right.
but other aspects of the business has. Like on camera, yeah, they have a problem. Like commercials, there's a reason I had to run, and I haven't done a commercial in 10 years. They Google your name now,
they
see this.
Everything about you, yeah.
Huh. And they go, you know, we can't have a letter come, Dear Pfizer, the Listerine bottle, called me a cunt.
Yeah.
At
no,
a show.
Yeah. No,
I get it, I'm business. Everything's a business.
Yeah.
I get it. But, you know, I will tell you that... Commercials are just money.
Right.
That's all it is. There's
yeah.
no art in commercials. I don't care what you think you're making fucking Citizen Kane. You're not even making Citizen Gum. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. We're all just making money here. We can treat each other good, and I'm a
this
whore.
A brand.
And I'm a whore, yeah, and I'm doing it, and we're all agreed here. But if you start treating me badly, it's going to fucking go down.
Yeah. Right. And there's no need to, because it's for Listerine, right?
On the same page.
And I'm going to use that as an example. They treated me great. They eventually, you know, they fired me but because of my stand-up. But that's fine. You know, I always say this. I was the second Listerine bottle. I was the Val Kilmer one of the series. Hard and work. You
know, do you have
Broody,
nipples?
Broody and hard
do you have
to work
nipples
with.
On your bottle?
No, no.
We love Val. Yeah.
We do love Val.
But unfortunately, I'm running out of time.
You are. So, dude, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, my pleasure, man. Yeah, this is
great. Like, it's such an eye-opener to know this side of the business.
Yeah.
And thank you for taking time to educate us nerds and answer our questions.
Yeah.
What do you have coming up that people can follow? What's
if they go to my website, darrenfrost.com,
yeah.
All my dates are on there.
Perfect.
You know, I'm touring around. I'll be back in Winnipeg maybe in April of next year.
Kind of. When you're back, let us know. Yeah. We'll have you over to the house. We'll put you in the studio and we'll just shoot.
Yeah, we should shoot more. There's all kinds of stories. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down.
I definitely love to. And I'll put all your credits in the show notes.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Yeah. Okay, so turn that thing off and then I'll tell you. People.
Oh, if you have any problems, dial information. Thank you for calling.